All right, we're back. Another episode of The Drop. This is number 20, and I am not Anna Bright. I can assure you that. I am Jason Aspis from the kitchen, and I'm stepping in to relieve Anna, who is traveling today. But I'm also here with Dylan Frazier. Dylan, what's up?
What's going on? Thanks for filling in for Anna, who clearly is not as loyal to The Drop podcast as I am. This is at the top of my list of priorities for Anna. Apparently, it's not. I guess for our viewers, I can say expect a shorter podcast. We all know how Anna likes to talk, and sometimes we get interrupted with James in the background doing stuff, but so none of that today. Short and sweet.
Well, we'll hopefully short and sweet, but I will stick up for our not here co-host Anna Bright and say that last week you didn't show up, Dylan. So Anna was there, you weren't. I'm not sure if you can play that card.
Yeah, I think I had a better excuse than Anna, though.
Okay, well, what was your excuse? Let's get into that.
Well, I was figuring out what I was gonna do with the whole MLP PPA situation. I hadn't made a clear decision, or at least one that had been announced yet, so it wasn't great timing for me. I think Anna just got tired or something, so she didn't want to do it, but.
All right. Well, we won't pick on Anna. We will stick up for Anna because I was with Anna all weekend. She was down in Orlando at a YOLA clinic and the YOLA championships. It was an amazing weekend. Everybody had a great time. Anna was amazing. I saw her play nonstop with all the YOLA pros, and it was great. And I highly advise everybody, if you have a chance next year to go. It was awesome. Team Jason came in fourth place. Team Jared came in third place. Oh, but shoot. Yeah, we don't want to get into that. It was a technical. Jared left early, and that's why they did so well. I won't get into it. Truth. That's the truth. But let's talk about everything that's going on in the world of pickleball, MLP, PPA, breakup. Dylan, you were in Kansas City playing while this was all taking place. We're not going to get into the details of the why and the how and all that kind of stuff. But I want to get an overview from you of what it was like as a player in Kansas City. You've had a little bit of time to reflect now. What was that like? Was that Thursday you started hearing about it, singles day, or was it Friday mixed? When did you start hearing the grumblings of what was going on?
Yeah, for me, it was Thursday. I had actually already, my singles day had already finished by that point, by the time I found out. Some players knew before that, like I think even, up to like a week before that, some players knew what was going on. But for me, it was Thursday after singles. I think I was talking to Rafa Hewitt, and he's like, you see this? And it's like MLP announces that they're signing players to multi-year deals. And it's like a landmark announcement or whatever. And I didn't think much of it at the time. I was like, oh, okay, but whatever. And then everything just kind of blew up after that. Like all the pros, I feel like were on the phone 24/7. It was on the back of everybody's mind throughout the rest of the weekend. It was just crazy. It was great. It was a little unfortunate timing for me because I had a lot of friends and family come to support from back home and it's from St. Louis and Kansas City. And so I was hoping that I could spend a little bit more time with them, but it just got pretty crazy. I felt like I was on the phone for most of the day, or at least after the tournament. And so I didn't maybe get to spend as much time with them as I would have liked, but it was also good timing because, I guess I had my family there so that we can talk some things through.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So your mom and dad were both there. Were they working with you? I mean, you're still kind of a kid, right? You're a college student. You're what, 21 years old?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah. So you're not quite a full-blown, grown up adult that lives, on his own means, even though you're a professional pickleball player and you're doing just fine, especially after signing this contract, I imagine you're doing incredibly well, but, you're still making decisions with your parents. And was that a positive influence to have them there or
yeah.
Would you want a little bit of space?
No, it was great. Like I consult with my parents on a lot of things. They've always got great advice for me. So I'm lucky to have them. Obviously my life they supported me my whole pickleball journey. So happy that they were there to help guide me in the right direction, make sure I wasn't, missing anything or leaving any pieces out of the decision or discussion or whatever you want to call it. But so yeah, they're very much involved and very much an influence on me and my decisions.
That's great. And your mom is a very good player. Is that right?
She's great. Yeah. She's a 5-0 player. We played my first pro tournament was, I played with her in mixed doubles. I think we played at least a couple of mixed doubles events together and we did all right. Like we were, you know, 2-2 maybe at each of the tournaments. So pretty good.
Not bad. And is she a senior yet or is she still
in her 40s? She can play senior pro and she has one time when for the St. Louis tournament that was last year, APP, that was also close to home. So she decided to play that one.
Nice. Okay, so you have your parents there. You're going back and forth with them about what's happening and what decisions to make. But you guys don't make a decision. You sit on it for a while. I know there was a lot of pressure out there from both sides about, you know, having to sign quickly and not wanting to be left out. And obviously, a year ago, 2 years ago, when the contracts came out from PPA, there was APP on the other side. And essentially, APP had kind of withdrawn some of those offers and players were left out in the cold and they didn't get an offer. Was there pressure this time to sign? Obviously you resisted that pressure. But was that pressure real? Did you feel that?
Yeah. And I won't go into too many details about what went into it for me personally. I've been asked not to by my agent to give the full story there, but I can speak to other players' experiences and my experience in Kansas City, which was, I know for a fact that players were given a timeline for, and some of them, it was just a few hours that they had to make a decision. And so I think, yeah, a lot of people were pressured into making a decision quickly, really, really, you know, everybody, you know, me and whoever signed like on Thursday, Friday versus whoever signed later, like for everybody, it was a really fast decision. But yeah, players were like in the player lounge, like talking about, you know, what their deal was, if they were going to sign MLP, PPA, and everybody was just trying to figure it out on the go while there was, you know, a full blown tournament, PPA tournament being run in Kansas City. So it was just really hectic. I think it was on the players' minds at all times, even when they were playing. So maybe not the best performance for some players who were distracted by it. It was just really hectic weekend.
And just to kind of to give the fuller picture, last year when Vibe was created, you were at the time not a PPA player, not a contracted PPA player. You played MLP in 2022. And then when Vibe was announced, which felt like the PPA, you know, players were going to go that direction, there was pretty much a coup when they got you and J-Dub to sign on with Vibe.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, there was. We're going to do a story or something, like we're going to come out with the details later, I think. And about like what.
That's fine. I don't need you to tell me any more than that. I just want to make sure that the facts are right. That's what made you guys really interesting because you went to Vibe, that made everyone feel like, oh, well, they might go back to PPA again and go Vibe again. So when you guys were holding out for a little bit, it was a lot of intrigue. And I think people were very much up in the air of which way you were going to go. And ultimately, you chose MLP. You don't have to tell me why. We'll find that story out some other time. But that's kind of the scenario. But that's why there was a lot sort of riding on that. And a lot of people were, you know, speculating which way you were going to go. And obviously it was you, Georgia, J-Dub, Millie, and Gabe Tardio, that were kind of, you know, as a group, that kind of Julie Johnson Academy group of young, talented players. So I won't make you answer anything about that, but just trying to give some context of how this all went down for some of the listeners that might not have been tracking it quite as closely as you. Yeah. Me and totally nerding out about this. what are your thoughts on, you know, not necessarily how it all went down, but the fact that it did all go down like it did? We have a breakup of MLP PPA. What does this mean for the sport? Is there any positives coming out of this? Obviously the players got looked after really well. What are your thoughts on the matter? Positives, negatives?
Yeah, I think a lot of the players were blindsided that when everything went down. Like I said, for me personally, I didn't find out till Thursday, and I didn't know it was going to be a really big deal until the next day, and everybody just started talking about it. But I think, like you said, for the players, it was great. You know, you've got PPA and MLP competing to sign these players to exclusive deals, which means, you know, they're going to have to bid on the player. So financially, it was good for all the players. Maybe having it's what it's going to do. It's going to dilute the level a little bit. Players are going to be, you know, on PPA, and some players are going to be on MLP. So all the talent's not going to be in the same place, which I don't think is what's best for pickleball in the long run. I think in the long run, you want all the players to be competing in the same place, whether it be PPA or MLP. But yeah, I think it's really hard to say what's going to happen from here. I know MLP's plan is to have like teams based in cities, and in the long run have players move out to those cities and live there with their in the city that their team is based. And who knows what's going to happen? I think there's still talk right now. I think PPA and MLP have some legal battles to have out with each other, and I know they're talking about, you know, a possible merger, maybe one of them selling. Those are the rumors going around right now. So the whole landscape could be different, you know, in a week or a month. And
yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah. You know, I get the feel of talking to lots of players and some of the, you know, some of the kind of upper management of these two entities that, and I wrote something when, as it was all going down, that neither side has hit the nuclear button yet. You know, the nuclear option has not been breached. So there is still some sense of calm that there could be reconciliation. I just feel like it will be on different terms. And maybe that was the intent all along, that one side might not have felt like they were getting the deal that they deserved. And maybe now, after a big spending spree, things can be divvied up a little bit differently.
I know MLP and PPA are both talking about having, you know, both forms of pickleball, like the single elimination brackets and tournament play. I think both entities are planning on having both of those in some capacity. I think MLP is going to be a little more focused on the team aspect, and PPA is going to be a little more focused on the tournament bracket, like what we've been doing this entire year. I think they're going to be more focused on that, but I think both are want to have both types of formats moving forward.
Yeah, and what's your thoughts on that? Is that a good thing? Do you like to play one over the other?
I like playing both, honestly. I think both have their, playing team events, I think it's fun, and playing on the PPA's like regular tournaments, I think is great too. When players go to teams, the talent, I maybe you could say the MLP matches or team matches aren't quite as high a level as PPA tournament matches, because instead of, you know, having Ben Johns play with his first choice of partner, Colin Johns, it's usually Ben Johns playing with the last pick of the draft. And so maybe the strength of teams and level of play isn't quite as high, but certainly it's maybe a little less predictable. And I know some people like to not have a very good idea of what the outcome is going to be. We all know that Ben and Anna Lee have been triple crowning at a lot of events this year. So the outcome of these PPA tournaments has been kind of predictable. With the MLP team format, it's less predictable because it's a little harder for Ben and Anna Lee to win when they're on a team. And so some people like that, some people don't. I think just generally speaking, everybody wants pickleball to succeed in the long run. I think it's best to have all the players together, and whichever side it is that ends up taking over is going to have to figure out how to monetize pickleball, right, to make it sustainable. And I think PPA has done a decent job of that so far with their TV contracts and sponsors. And I think MLP has got to prove themselves in that area. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on what people like to watch, like what spectators like to watch, because at the end of the day, a lot of the money from pickleball is coming from TV contracts and deals, or at least that's the idea, I think, moving forward. And so I think it's going to come down to what people want to watch. And I think whoever's in charge at the time has to be responsive to that and be willing to, you know, adapt to the preferences of the spectators.
What's your gut on what do you think spectators are going to respond to better?
I don't know. I know that there have been some survey, or the Selkirk survey came out and it showed that spectators prefer the PPA style tournaments better. And I, from what I've gathered from, you know, social media, other players, people I know, it seems like there's a little bit of a preference toward PPA style tournaments format. But one point that was made to me by another player was that, one of the problems that they think the PPA tour has is that being a tour, they're stopping in a city like one time per year. So it's kind of hard to get engagement from the community in those cities when it only happens one time per year. But with MLP side, having teams based in cities and having several matches there as a team, it's going to be a little bit easier to engage the community and, you know, activate a fan base for that team. And so they think that that's going to be better for pickleball in the long run, and that people will be more responsive to that format. I think it's, I don't know what's going to happen. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I definitely could see that being the case, that if you have a home team to root for and players that play for that team, you really kind of forge a relationship and you start to, you know, be able to root for that player or that team, much like you do a baseball or basketball or football team.
Right. Yeah.
So that makes a ton of sense. You know, obviously, one of the big components of MLP, aside from it being a team event, is rally scoring. And that is a hallmark of MLP. What are your thoughts on rally scoring? Do you enjoy playing with rally scoring? How do you feel it? Does it benefit the better team or the weaker team?
I think rally scoring is beneficial because it's easier to understand and follow than side out scoring. So for someone that's new to pickleball and coming in or turns it on TV or whatever and starts watching it, it's easier to kind of know what's going on compared to side out scoring. People get confused with how you score, who's serving, all that stuff. So I think rally scoring is good for that. I think it benefits the weaker team a little bit maybe because I feel like the games are faster. You know, you can and side out scoring, you might go, you know, you might play out 15 rallies and nobody scores because nobody's scoring on their serve. And meanwhile, if that's in the rally scoring format, the score could be like 7-7. So the rally scoring game just happens faster. And so I think that benefits the weaker team usually because the longer the match, the more you have to score on your serve, the more likely it is that the better team's is going to win.
How do you prepare going into an MLP event? Are you practicing with your team? Are you getting those reps in? Are you strategizing with them? You know, who was your coach in this last one? You were BLQK last time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And who was the coach of that team?
Mircea Mariu coached our team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's your coach. He's your coach regularly.
Yeah.
So how was that as, you know, as you prepared, for the last MLP at least?
Yeah, it was good. Mircea is a good coach. He definitely takes his role as coach very seriously. I know that before matches and after matches, we were watching film on who we played and who we're about to play and making sure that we have a strategy or an idea of what we want to do going into a specific match. This upcoming season of MLP for 2023, I'm on the Ranchers team. And we actually had a practice scheduled for after the Kansas City tournament, but then everything blew up. And so we postponed it. We're going to reschedule it maybe, or maybe we're just going to get there a little bit early to Atlanta. And so we have time to practice with everybody. But yeah, it's definitely important to, because for the most case, I think everybody's playing with players that they haven't played with before, or at least not on a consistent basis. So everybody's going to be in new partnerships, and it's important to have a little bit of experience, a little bit of practice with your partners and teammates, I think, going into a match so that you're all on the same page.
Yeah, and so the Ranchers, just to break down, you have Travis Rettenmeyer, yourself, Georgia Johnson, and Lauren Stratman. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's, you are actually pretty familiar with all those guys, right?
Yeah. So that was one thing that I was happy about, is I feel like we've already, at least Georgia Lauren and I already have a connection with those two. I'm not as experienced with Travis, but Georgia, and I've played tournaments with Georgia in the past and with Lauren.
Yep. You mentioned that Mircea took you through and you started strategizing, watching film. Tell me a little bit more about that. When you guys strategize to face an opponent, what does that sound like? Are you, I mean, it, you know, at a 4-0, 4-5 level, it's like, hey, hit it to their backhand. That guy's worse. What kind of strategy are you guys talking about? Is it as blunt and simple as that, or is it a lot more nuanced?
It's a little more nuanced, although not a whole lot more. I mean, our strategy sessions consisted of our team last year for the BLQK team, Federico, Andrea, and Maggie and I, you know, sitting in the living room of our Airbnb with the TV on and watching some matches of players that we were about to play and just identifying strengths and weaknesses and if there's any holes that we can try to pick on or if there's any strengths that we want to try to avoid. So it's not too complex, but it's mostly just having a general idea of what you want to do, because I think in-game adjustments are the most important thing. You've got to be willing to change what you're doing if something's working or not working in a given matchup. But we like to have a general idea of what the strategy was going into a match.
Nice. I will say this, that in this episode of The Drop, you're talking a lot more than when Anna is in this seat. Do you enjoy talking more, or do you enjoy when Anna's here to do all the talking?
I think I'm indifferent. I don't mind talking. I know that Anna likes to do a lot of the talking, so sometimes I just sit back and let it happen, try to facilitate her. But yeah, no, Anna's got a lot of great ideas. She's passionate about a lot of things in pickleball, probably more so than I am. So I'm happy to kind of take the passenger seat and just try to facilitate her. She's got a lot of great ideas and she keeps up with everything a little bit more than I do. So, but I don't mind talking when I have to either.
Well, I'm glad that everybody gets to hear you talk, because I read the comments a lot and they're always like, Dylan doesn't talk, but I know that you can talk and I know that you're good at it. But Anna's exceptional, so I think it works really well the way it's been going.
Yeah.
Dylan, if you had one way to kind of solve this MLP-PPA situation, right? If you could handpick and say, hey, here's how it should work and this is the way forward, what would that look like?
That's a tough question. I think the first thing that comes to mind is again, all the players being together, regardless of what format we're in, regardless of who's in charge and running the pickleball scene. I think just having all the top talent together is going to be the most beneficial for pickleball moving forward. But yeah, what do you think?
I'll give you some examples. And I've heard this kind of, you know, thrown around, that the PPA is your kind of your, let's say there are 20 events throughout the year, right? 20 stops on tour. And those are your kind of regular cadence. It's maybe every other week, essentially. And then you have, let's say, 8 to 10 MLPs, which are, I don't want to call them bigger. They're different. They do feel like bigger events. Now, obviously, the way MLP is looking at this ultimately is to have, you know, cities and locations. So therefore, players would not be all migrating to one place to have a big event. There would be smaller events, maybe in the off weeks of non-PPA tour events. Is that something that we could see working, and therefore you're at home, you don't have to travel?
Yeah, I mean, if I would hope so. I don't know if I can answer that question, whether it's going to be, if it's going to work or not. But I think it would be great if it did. Like a little bit more off time, I think, is going to be great for players as a whole, and it's going to elevate the level of pickleball, because people are going to have more downtime to do some off the court training, practicing certain shots, whatever. So when they come back to play the tournaments, then they're ready to go. And also they're maybe probably not as fatigued as they are when they're playing a lot of events throughout the year. So I think you're going to see the level of pickleball rise, assuming that, that all works out. Yeah, it's just hard to say.
It is. I know it is, because I've been tracking it for the last, you know, 10 days, and I have no idea what's going to happen. But it's it's certainly exciting. And I feel like one day we're going to look back at this when pickleball is huge and on TV every week, and it's kind of America's game, and we see participation just continue to grow. I think we'll look back at that weekend in Kansas City and think, man, that was a pivotal time. And how crazy was that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have a book or a movie about it.
Yeah.
Maybe a very small movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
Dylan, anything else you got?
No, I guess I'll just say, I guess what's coming up next is the PPA Cincinnati tournament. As far as I know, everybody's planning on having out the rest of the 2023 year as originally planned, you know, playing PPA tournaments. I think as far as I know, everybody's planning on playing MLP Atlanta, the first event of season two of MLP this year. And then I think in 2024 is when some of these things are going to start coming into effect. But as far as I know, what I'm planning on right now is just playing out the rest of the year as originally planned, and then maybe seeing some changes for the 2024 season.
Yeah, good. And I saw today at Wrigley Field, the Bay Area Breakers were playing the Chicago Slice, and PPA and MLP players all showed up. So that's a good sign. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come, and Atlanta will continue to happen without a hitch, and we can finish out the 2023 season, because I think MLP 2023 so far was a huge success. It's exciting. I think everyone agrees it's a fun experience.
Yeah.
I think it's just a lack of exposure that people haven't really gotten to experience it, because it's not like PPA, which happens every week almost. It's only been three.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for Atlanta because I'll be there.
Yeah.
And when you come to town, let me know. I'll get you some training.
Okay.
I'll teach you a couple of things.
Your team got fourth place though at the Yule event. Like, I don't know if I can take lessons from you.
Listen, I was the lowest duper on that team. It was a really good team. No joke. I had a really good team. Anyway, Dylan, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Next week, Anna will be back, and Dylan and Anna will share the responsibilities as I hand the torch over. That's it for this week's Drop 20 in the Books. See you next week.